We'll see how this. We'll see how this goes. We're gonna start in Megillas Esther. What we're gonna start talking about is really the background, because when you learn Megillas Esther, like we do with everything in Torah, we zero in on the messages and what it's talking about, and because Megillas Esther is, it's like a scam. It's like a trick. You know why it's a trick? You know why it's a trick? Because it leads you to believe that everything's happening all at once. Yeah? You know what I'm talking about? So the Megillas Esther leads you to believe that everything's happening all at once. It's all condensed into this. And there's a certain truth to that. But we're going to be missing out on a lot if you think that the whole story is that way. And the truth of the matter is that Megillas Esther tells you some of these years. And if you pay attention, the whole thing's developing over a rather long period of time. So in front of you, you have a timeline. It's backtracking a lot because there's certain things that Chazal want us to point out, want us to understand about the Megillah that are not explicit in the Megillah. So for example, there are certain psukim that are read in the Megillah in a very unusual trope. Do you know what I'm talking about? Vikelim, Mikelim, Mishonim. You know what I'm talking about? That Ahasuerus wore the Megillah is going to be in the morning.
Here,
the reading. Wait, I'm confused. In other words, the Suda is going to be Purim in the afternoon.
Right.
So the morning, your Megillah, regular chapters. Yeah. Whatever minion you find yourself in, there'll be Megillah. There's not going to be any minion here that won't have Megillah. Because Ahasuerus was wearing the big day kahuna. Yeah, he wore the big day kahuna. Why would he do something like that? It was just to get at the Jews. Like, where did that come from? You know what I'm asking? Like, where did that come from? All of a sudden, he says, "Hey, wait, oh, this is the outfit for today." Like, what? No, right? There was something about that suda that he was trying to make a statement. So it goes back to, as you see from the timeline over here. And okay, I do have to make a what do you call it? not a caveat, whatever, you know. I do have to say, there is some confusion among historians as to the goings-on for about 166 years after Korban Bayis Rishon, yeah? Therefore, historians assume that these years don't exist. Yeah. Our tradition tells us otherwise, however, and we'll be using those dates from Chazal in our timeline. Now, you know, full disclaimer over here, there's a lot of simplification and certain assumptions, and I'm choosing certain approaches in this timeline, yeah? So you will find discrepancies here, but for simplicity's sake and, you know, for our purposes, this is what we're going to do. 556 BCE. Exile, 10 tribes. Yeah? It's important. You'll see why it's important. 442 BCE. Nebuchadnezzar becomes king of Babel, makes Jehoiakim, the Jewish king. Which king, by the way, is he king of? There's two Malchus, right? The Malchus is Yehuda and Malchus is Israel. Which one is he king over? Obviously Yehuda, because Yisrael just got into Galus, right? Malchus Yehuda just got into Galus. So there was no more Malchus Yisrael. There was only Malchus Yehuda, which is why we're called Jews. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah.
We're called Jews because we're from Malchus Yehuda, because that's all that was left. So he makes Jehoiakim his vassal. Because you do what I say. Do what I say, or I'm getting rid of you. In 434, Yechaniah becomes king of Yehuda. He's exiled to Babel along with Mordechai. Do you remember this? It's in the Megillah, right?
Yeah.
It says about, what does it say about Mordechai? Where does it say Mordechai? Ish Yehudi.
Yeah, the time of the exile.
Where's the pasuk? Ish Yehudi hayav shushana birosh Mordechai. Ben Yair, ben Shimi, ben Kish, ish Yemini. This is read in the trap of Eicha. Asher hagla mirushalayim. He went into Galus with Yechaniah. So when was that? 434. Yechaniah becomes king of Judah, exiled to Babel along with Mordechai and other Talmid Chachamim. For more information, see Malachim over there. In 423 BCE is Korban Bayis Rishon. Yeah? So it's interesting, right? I don't know if we appreciated this, that there were a lot of Yidden, including Mordechai, who is already in Babel several years before Korban Bayis. Yeah? All right, now, take a look. Years go by. 372 BCE, Belshazzar becomes the king of Babel. Who's Belshazzar? You see it? What? Destruction. So Churban HaBayis means destruction of Beis HaMikdash. In 372, Belshazzar becomes king of Babel. Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah? Now, I don't know if you guys know this. You've heard about the writing on the wall?
Yeah.
It's a phrase. People use this. The writing on the wall. It's like the nail in the coffin, right? How old was he? Remember, the years are backwards because it's BCE. I don't know how old he was. I don't know. Maybe he's young. I don't know how. It's a good question. How old is he when he dies? Good question. I don't think he was like crazy, like, you know, 130. I don't know. I think so. Could be. Could be. He was already dead by then, right? Well respected Zakin. Yeah, could very well be.
I'm team doors.
Yeah.
Rabbi,
yeah.
Do you think there are more doors or wheels in the world?
Oh my gosh, we had this conversation.
It's
wheels. Okay, it's
doors.
We decided it's wheels.
Clearly.
Everyone would have died in
the
doors.
Rabbi, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Why are we saying?
Rabbi, there were all the tile houses in the world.
Not all of them. But there was an exile of Yechonia, that's on Mordechai and Deppin Bavel before the Korban.
No, how many dead people there are in the world?
That's for also?
It's a dumb argument.
Has been whole billions of years?
There was, if when you get involved in the history, that's what's so interesting about all of this. When you start learning about the history of that time period, it wasn't like a one-time thing. Like, Jews are doing great, bringing karbanos. All of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar shows up. The general makes a siege and destroys Beis HaMikdash. It's not like that at all. There's a lot of things that were going on. Yeah, first the 10 tribes were exiled. And then eventually there was a siege against Yerushalayim that was already well after Nebuchadnezzar had already put into place a lot of power of his own. And that the kings of the Jews of the time of Yehuda were puppets of Nebuchadnezzar. Sometimes they rebelled, sometimes they didn't. Like, it's a whole, it's a lot of history behind this. No, actually not, because you have, when we have the day after Rosh Hashanah, we have Tzom Gedaliah. Tzom Gedaliah is because there was a population that was still there. They were led by the leader Gedaliah ben Achikam, and there was a whole big problem over there where he was assassinated, and because of that, that was the last power that the Jews had over themselves in any way, shape, or form, really, until a lot later. That part of the Churban, that's one of the four Taniyos that we spoke about.
The original ten tribes from the entire history.
It happened a long time. A long time before everything else. So, in 372, you have what's called their handwriting, the writing on the wall. You know this phrase? The writing on the wall? Yeah. It means like it's the final nails in the coffin, sealed. That's because Belshazzar, let's read what it says over here. He became king 2 years before, in 374. That's when he became the king. And he makes a celebration based on Yirmiyo Chav Tes Yud. You want to take a look? Look at this pasuk. In Yirmiyo Perek Chav Tes Pasuk Yud, Yirmiyo Navi says in no uncertain terms, he says in very certain terms, yeah, that the Jews are going to be in Galus for 70 years. This goes back to the conversation we're supposed to have, and I owe you, about what's the significance of that.
Yeah.
Why should it be Bedafka 70 years? And by the way, everybody knows that Yayin is 70, and Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod, the secrets come out when wine goes in, 70, Sod is 70. So the number 70 is connected deeply with Purim, the whole Gullus, that this became, we didn't go straight back there, just off to Purim. But it did allow for the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash, and it was in a certain way the end of Galus while we were still in Galus.
How was Yayin 70?
What?
How was Yayin 70?
Yud and Nun. Nun is 50,
20.
Plus 20, 7. And so it is the same thing.
It's 70, fine. That's not 50.
He wanted to work it out, and what point you bring? Okay, so in 374, so Belshazzar becomes king. 2 years later, he makes his party. Why did Belshazzar make the first major party of all time? Because he made a bad calculation. This is what the Gemara in Megillah tells us. He made a bad calculation. What was his calculation? based on Yirmiyo. Yirmiyo had said that the galus is going to be 70 years. So how did he make his calculation? What does it say in parentheses? Calculating the 70 years from the conquest over the king of Judah, Jehoiakim.
Let me start.
Yeah. Let me start right here. Yeah.
According to your solid.
So, 70 years from there, if you take a look at the time over here, the timeline, you'll see that's exactly what it is. It's 70 years to that party, and that's when there's the handwriting on the wall, right? Mena mena tekel ufarkin. Right? Mena mena tekel ufarkin. No, it's an Aramaic. Mena mena tekel ufarkin. And nobody knew what that meant. And they got Daniel to interpret it, and the king, Nebuchadnezzar, the king Belshazzar, he said, whoever interprets this is going to get to wear purple, which, you know, okay, let's not go there. But whatever, back then, apparently that was cool. And gets to wear all kinds of... He rewarded Daniel for interpreting it. Tikal is weighed. Weighed, Minoah is measured. Mufarkin, and, you know, redeemed or whatever, or taken, sent away. That your kingdom has been measured and sent away, you're finished. And he died that night. Belshazzar was killed that night, assassinated that night. His daughter, according to Chazal, perhaps, whatever, but his daughter was Vashti. Yeah? His daughter was Vashti. Which means that Vashti is the great-granddaughter of?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Daryavesh, the first, become the king of Madai. So he conquers Paras and spares Belshazzar's daughter. That's the assassination happens that night. He spares Belshazzar's daughter, Vashti, because... she was hot. Okay, anyway. So in 370, I don't know why he spared her, but he did. In 370 BCE, so a couple of years later, 1 year after becoming king, Cyrus, he's now king, the son-in-law of Dariush the First, orders the rebuilding of Beis HaMikdash. Did you know that?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. Is Dariush the son of...
No. You're right. But you're wrong. In other words, we're going to see later on that there's another Dariush the Second, I think. Yeah, Dariush the Second. He was the son of Esther and Ahasuerus. He rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. But before that, the one that took over after Belshazzar and then, I don't know, Cyrus, Dariush the First. So Dariush the First, again, was the one that assassinates Belshazzar. His son Cyrus becomes king. And Koresh. And he's the one that orders the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash in what year? 370. Most people don't know this. That there was construction going on of the second Beis HaMikdash before the Purim story Bechlal. Yeah? That's part of the background to the story, according to the Gemara, is that in 369, a year later, Ahasuerus, whose real name perhaps was Artaxerxes, Artaxasta, that's according to Esther Rabbah, whatever, it's a whole interesting question what his degree really was. We have Ahasuerus, which according to one opinion in the Gemara means that he gives us a headache. Ahash mir my Rosh. So it's not really necessarily his real name. What was his real name? We're not exactly sure. Which king to associate him with?
Why wouldn't Esther and Mordecai just write his real name?
I'm not sure. I don't know if it was because they didn't want him to know or it was, I don't know.
Because he was Ahasuerus. Give him a headache.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's a nickname or if it was his real name. He really went by that. I don't know. But in any case, that's how he is known to us. He becomes king in 369 and stops the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. You can take a look. All the sources are here. Take a look at Ezra Perek Dalet. You will see over there that this Ahasuerus ordered a cease and desist in the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Yeah? Okay. This is where our Megillah basically begins. So you see there's a lot of background here, right? There was a whole party before Ahasuerus because he was making this calculation from Yirmiyo that the Gullus was 70 years was over. And, oh, by the way, so how does that explain his party? Because now, ha ha ha, guess who's staying here, huh? Jews, because you're not going back. Because Yirmiyo said 70 years. 7 years came, 7 years went, finished. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You are not going to be redeemed. That's it. God has abandoned you. We'll see. So now begins our Megillah. How does the Megillah begin? How do you know they were hard of hearing? Who? Okay, so we know it was in the times of Ahasuerus. He was the king over that area. In those days, in what days? When he sat on his throne? What does that mean? Bishnas Shalosh Limalcho. What year of his kingdom? What year of his reign? Bishnas Shalosh Limalcho.
Year three.
Three. Third year of his reign, yeah? He made a party. Why the third year of his reign? 3 years, he felt settled. You know, it took him 3 years. A chazaka. Now he feels like he's the king, you know? He wasn't from nobility.
Yeah.
He married Vashti. I don't know how he married Vashti. You know, like,
wasn't he like a high general and then like...
Something, you know? But you know, she's like a 10. You know, he was like a...
Like a
negative
five and
3.
A half.
You know? I don't know, whatever. But whatever, so he married Vashti and so he became the king. Recognized as the king, and 3 years later he feels settled. But say Chazal, it's not just that he felt settled. It's not just Pshat he felt settled. You know why? Why did he make a party? Kishavas, about 3 years later, not yet, he makes a party calculating. Hey! Guess what? 7 years is up. Vikelim, Ekelim, Shonim. 7 years from what? What was his calculation?
From the thing.
What?
From when Yocha.
The wrong date.
When he's, they declared 70 years that it's gonna.
So what's his cheshbon? What's his cheshbon? 366, yeah? What's 70 years? How does that make sense?
Oh, it doesn't make sense.
So what was he thinking? So the first calculation of Belshazzar was from what? What did we say?
Oh, it is.
From what?
It's like 69 years.
From what?
From the Chuban.
Nice.
Is it?
Yeah. No?
Let's figure it out. Anybody good at math there? Rafi, can you figure this out? If you backtrack, you have to do backwards. The problem is BCE, so it's all confusing, right? BCE is very confusing.
Before
so,
Christ our Savior?
More common era. BS. 366... How do you backtrack 7 years from 366?
57.
You have to add 70, no?
57.
What?
It's 57.
No, add.
From 366 to 423, it's 57.
What's 366 plus 70?
366 plus 70. 436.
436. So in 434 is when Yechaniah becomes king of Yehuda and goes into Gullus with Mordechai.
Oh,
so that was the first... You weren't listening to the beginning, were you?
I was. I probably forgot, though.
We can listen to the recording later. Anyway, so he made a mistake in his calculation. But his calculation was based on Gullus Yehuda. They did go into exile. The Churban HaBayis hadn't happened yet, but already Bavel Nebuchadnezzar had sent the king into exile. So doesn't it make sense, like Yirmiyahu said, that the 70 years is of Gullus? You with me? 70 years of Gullus. So the Gullus began, okay, he made a little mistake in his math, but the Gullus began more or less at the 7 years before. 434-ish. Yeah? So Chazal say he made a mistake. He made a mistake in his calculations, but his thought process was on target. Are you with me? So that's according to Chazal what this party was all about. Why is he wearing the big gay kahuna? What statement is he making?
I am king.
Yeah, not only that, but Jews, you are...
forsaken.
Mm-hmm.
What does that have to do with
the kingdom? Because he's trying to say that you're not going to
use
back.
I thought you meant like the kingdom.
You're not going
not,
back.
Not
your temple's
actual,
finished.
I thought you meant like his...
So
role.
Part of the party, believe it or not, was a statement that the Jews are finished. You want to go? You want to go party?
So why did the Jews go to the party?
Crazy, right? It's crazy. According to Chazal, that's what the party was about.
What do you mean?
Wait, then what if he did that?
Or I seem to have been pouring drinks over
there.
That's true. Now, why did he make all the food kosher for all the Jews to come?
Why did he or didn't he?
Why did he?
Because he wanted them to go.
But why if they're...
To make a statement that they're part of his malchus now, they're not going back.
Why did they go?
So what do you think? If we were there and we would say no to the king, what would happen?
You would die.
So what do we lose, right? What do we lose? We should go. No?
Who's the
Mashiach? Mordechai was serving drinks, you know?
How do you know he's serving drinks?
Because there's a Rashi, whatever. Whatever it is. Point is that apparently the party was kosher, and yeah, so why wouldn't you go? Why shouldn't you go, right? In other words, we don't want to go, but if we don't, it's going to have major consequences. So we should go. Suck it up. No? Vashti gets killed. Yes?
Killer.
We all know that party. Vashti gets killed, and that sets up, of course, Esther. Yeah, can I tell you something cool?
Yeah.
This is like a tangent for a minute. Is it okay? Yeah? How is Esther introduced in the Megillah? This is interesting. Listen to this. If we would have been writing the Purim story, and you want to introduce one of your main characters, so how do you introduce one of your main characters?
In this corner.
Yeah, you know, like you figure out a way to like highlight, you know, and I want to let you know that there's this girl Esther. Yeah?
See all the parents.
Listen to this. This is the way Megillah Esther introduces Esther. Ish Yehudi, Hayab Shoshana B Rush, Mordechai, Ben Yair, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Ish Nimini. Right, we read this pasuk already, right? There's a guy named Mordechai. Asher Haglami Rishalayim. Imagala Asher Haglisaim. Yechanya Melech Yehuda. Okay, so he went into Galus, Mordechai, we got it. Mordechai. Who's being introduced? Mordechai. And he raised Hadassah. He Esther Bastodo. Ki Ainullah Avaim. Yeah, she didn't have parents, so he raised her. Hanare Fastoyavitavas Mare. She was beautiful. When her parents died. He took her as a daughter, according to Chazal, as a wife. Yeah?
I don't know. Is that like... Okay?
Yeah? So, isn't that interesting? It doesn't... And when... By the way, and what's the point? What's the point? And it was... And Esther ends up going to... And the rest of the whole section here, the perek, is all talking about Esther and how she was taken to the palace. How did we introduce her?
As Mordechai's daughter.
As Mordechai's daughter, Mordechai's wife, right? Are we talking about Mordechai? No. Is the story at this point about Mordechai?
No.
Why in the world is she being introduced through Mordechai? Esther did too?
Aren't they cousins as well?
They're related in some way.
Yeah.
It's also just that point in history.
So I want to say my pshat. I could be totally wrong about this, but I love this pshat. This is my pshat. My pshat is that Esther is a little bit embarrassed about Megillah Esther, because even though she's very proud to be the heroine and to be the one that brought this geula to Klal Yisrael, you know, and it wasn't good for her. You know that, right? Meaning she was married to the Gadol Hador, and she ended up raped by Achashverosh, and then having a baby with him, being stuck in this very goyish palace for the rest of her life, never being able to really be back with the Jewish community. Yeah? It's like a tragedy. Yeah? Because in the beginning, she was actually allowed to go back to her husband Mordechai, because technically she'd been raped. Until eventually Mordechai tells her, I want you to go to Achashverosh and beg for your people. And she says, Kasher avadati, avadati. Okay, so what I lose, I lose. Because now I'm going to him willingly, and now it's not raping.
Didn't she like volunteer?
Vatilokach Esther. Esther was taken the whole time. She's like forced to do what she needs to do, and she refused. She's gonna get killed. So what's she gonna do? You know.
We did this last year.
Why is her going to them considered really?
Kasher Vareti Vareti.
Yeah.
Because she went to do whatever she's gonna do. Willingly. To get his attention. Okay, so I have a pshat. My pshat is Esther is the whole Megillus Esther is like an incredible lack of tznius. You know what I'm saying? It's like an incredible lack of tznius here. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'll give you one thing, Esther. I'm going to introduce you with tznius. I'm not going to shove you in the front, you know, I'm pushing on the back. Esther, ta-da! At least she's introduced in the Megillah. With its sneeze, and then she comes like, you know, comes to the background.
I wonder why you don't have a graphic version.
Also, Achashverosh was alive at the time of this, so I don't think he would want it written that she was Mordechai's wife.
Okay, but I'm saying, but even the way she's introduced, first she's introduced only through Mordechai. Okay, anyway, going right there. So, that's how the Megillah begins. Esther becomes queen in what year?
429?
No.
423.
What? Where are you? 362. Yeah, you see it? In 360.
Down or up?
What's so common?
Oh, I see. No, we're reading down the page, but the numbers are going down, but that's backwards.
Oh my gosh.
40.
How many times have I said this? Okay, let's go. So, it's how many years are there between the death of Vashti and Esther becomes queen?
2 years?
four.
I see four. Yeah, four?
Four.
4 years.
I spy with my little eye.
Did you know that?
No.
You read the Megillah, it sounds like it's like right away, right? Like, oh, maybe a few days, you know? And he's like, this is a beauty pageant and this and... by the way, trivia year. Question. Today's Aliyah, there's a hint to Megillah Esther.
Oh, possible,
you saw it?
I think so. How is it possible for Aliyah to learn before her?
It's not really a hint. It's really like if you're learning it and you read Rashi, Rashi understands a word, his interpretation of the word is based on Megillah Esther.
Yeah, but Rashi was after
Esther,
right?
Who the heck's
Artaxerxes?
Artaxerxes?
Yeah.
Sometimes
Achashverosh. I've heard of Xerxes.
Yes, there's also an Xerxes. Yeah, this is the Artax. When he was with the penguins, the Arctic Xerxes. No. Anyway. You see that? You found it?
Like the penguin from Gotham? Do you watch the movie?
No.
It's so good. You have to
it's
watch
so
it.
Good.
What? 300?
No, Batman.
That's not even close.
It was really good, Rabbi. They gave Batman feelings in this movie.
And Batman doesn't have feelings?
No, in the other ones, he's like, I'm here, and then he just kills everyone. You know? This one, he's like, he actually has like conflict, he has like emotions.
Aww, that's so nice.
He also made his car so dumb.
His car got
dumb?
They
made his car like look like under construction.
You know, the original one actually was a car that like you could drive around. Like the
16th.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. What's the right word?
Tarukume.
Tamruke. What does Tamruke mean, Zakrashi? Visamruke. Hanashim. Because in Esther, they used to bring all these women in. I don't know what they smelled like back then. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't like take baths often. And like, I don't know what their skin was like. Tamruke Hanashim. Miguel's Esther. That's it. You got it.
You know?
You got it. So Tamruke Anashim means that they used to stick them in baths of myrrh and like all of these things. They would bathe in these oils and whatever, and I guess it made their skin nice and soft, and they smelled nice, and then you could go to the king. So he could rape you. Lots of fun. Anyway, so
what? People are saying that the new car is better than the old car.
Oh my gosh. Come on. Focus.
Well, some people say the new queen is better than the old queen. Some people.
So this is what happens. Esther becomes a queen. It took 4 years for her to take enough baths, apparently, to be ready. But okay, so she becomes the queen. And, oh, this is so important. There's this parenthetical statement.
Wait, she had a kid?
Sorry?
She had a kid?
Yeah. So there's this, like, parenthetical story that happens at this point.
She had a kid with
Achashverosh. And
I feel like that was Blanche Stokes.
Yeah, it's very
bad. And when you read the story, you're like, this is irrelevant.
I never do that.
Mordechai is like walking through the streets, and he hears these guys in Pig Latin, you know, Ilke, Achashverosh Ke, you know what I'm talking about? Like, they're going to want to kill him. And he is a member of the Sanhedrin, so he speaks even Pig Latin, so he understands them. And then he reports this to?
The king himself.
The authorities. The king himself. No.
Not
at all. You know what he does? No one knows?
Tells the guard.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, it's the guards who are planning to kill him.
No, he doesn't. He hears
Esther.
Them. He tells?
Esther.
Yes, he tells Esther. Why does he do that?
So Esther can, like, pipe him up.
Good, right? He wants Esther to have a really good relationship with the king. Now, I want to talk about another time. Remind me. I think that's pshat in whatever, the last parak of Pirkei Avos is not really Mishnayos, yeah? But it says, Kola Umar Davar B'Shem Omru. When you say something in the name of the person you heard it from, what does it say? Mevi, Geula, La'olam. You bring Geula to the world. And the Mishnah brings a proof for that. Because this is about Tomer. Esther, Lamelech, B'Shem Mordechai. The Esther told the king, in Mordechai's name, about this plot.
Is that the...
Okay, we'll come back to it. Yeah. Chazal has this idea. Okay, anyway. So, that is here. In around 362, after Esther becomes queen, is this random event where there's an assassination attempt, if you will, on Achashverosh. Mordechai discovers the plot, doesn't do anything about it himself, tells Esther. Okay. 361, year later, Mazel Tov. Esther has a baby with Achashverosh. Ick. His name was not Ick, his name was Dariavish the second. Okay, life goes on.
Wait,
crazy.
Dariavish takes over at what, 6 years old?
Yeah, I think that too, yeah.
Guess so? Is that what it says?
Wait, I mean, why is he
365?
365.
I guess he officially became then, yeah. I don't know. He probably wasn't doing much.
I mean,
he
could have been seven.
Esther was probably running, or whoever. I don't know. I don't know who else was running the kingdom at the time.
Saul.
It says something like 353, he orders the temple builds.
Maybe he was official, his you know, his stamp of approval. Maybe he didn't really know so much what he was doing. He's a little kid. Who knows? But he officially was king. You know how it is when children become king, you know? It's like being president of the United States. Anyway, let's go on. So it's that's 361. Now, how many years are elapsing here until 357 when Haman comes to power? How long has Esther been queen for?
5 years,
right? 5 years the Jews have been living, Esther been queen, nothing's happening. We don't perceive that when you learn Megillah Esther. She's queen, no.
Does Ahasuerus die at the end of Megillah?
No. Not in the Megillah. So, in 357, after years of life just going on, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this guy Haman comes to power. We don't know a lot of details of how that happened, what's going on exactly, but he comes to power. Nisan. Okay, now you notice that in 357 is like everything. The whole Megillah, at this point, until now, it's been a lot of years. But at this point, from the time Haman comes to power, all of a sudden, like, everything's happening all at once.
So the same year Haman comes to power, he makes all these decrees.
Yeah, like, everything happens all at once. It's like everything gets compacted into like almost 3 days.
He's a confident like that to make the whole ask king to make all.
Yeah. Okay, so let's try to figure this out. Haman comes to power sometime in around 357, and by the time that Nisan, the first of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the year 3404, which corresponds to 357, March 31st, 357 BCE. So Haman has already decided, right? Like, what's the basic background to this? That Haman wants power, and he actually got permission from Ahasuerus that whenever he's walking around, everyone has to bow down. That's because he's the minister of the king. It's respect to the king. King went for it, and everyone has to do this. Everyone does, except for
Mordecai.
So, you know, he can't handle this yet.
Mordecai said, like, I'm like 95 at this point.
He could have, but Haman was like, I don't care, you know. So, you know, bend your, I don't do whatever you need to do. You know what I'm saying? So he goes home, yeah, and he says to Zeresh, you know, like I can't handle this guy, you know.
Who's Zeresh?
His wife. You know the pasuk says. You know what the pasuk says? Zeresh ishto v'chol ohavav, and all the people that love him.
Their kids.
Not his wife, apparently. Anyway, so you think a little bit. It's really funny. So he can't handle this guy Mordechai. So what does he want to do? What does he want to do?
Kill him.
But he can't do that. Because that looks like he's a Balkaibra. So it has to be like something where he's going to get killed without him looking like a jerk. So we'll just do genocide is fine. That's the conclusion. You know what I'm talking about?
You can't pick and choose.
He decides that we'll just wipe out the Jews. Because the Jews are like bad for the kingdom. And they're all spread out. And they don't hold by the minhagim of the kingdom. They don't even drink the king's wine. If you touch it, they wouldn't drink it. They're bad people. So that's how Haman gets permission to destroy the Jews. He doesn't care about the Jews, according to the Megillah. He just wants to kill Mordechai. But to kill Mordechai, he's a Balgaiva, so he's got to get rid of all the Jews to kill Mordechai. Yeah? So he does a lottery on the March 31st, 357. And it comes out, oh, perfect, 13th of Adar, 11 months from now. You knew that? That the lottery where he decided when he was going to kill the Jews was Yud Gimel Nisan. That's when the lottery was Rosh Chodesh. The decree goes out on Yud Gimel Nisan that in exactly 11 months, we're going to kill the Jews.
What would he want for a long period of time between?
That's when the lottery came out. Nothing to do about
it's
it.
Like just
he left it up to chance. So that was the decree. The decree was, everyone get yourselves ready, you know, start training yourselves in bows and arrows, you know, start getting ready, you know, if you're going to do the karate, that's fine. You have 11 months to train, because on the 13th of Adar, we are going to kill all of these terrible, terrible people called the Jews. And again, just because he wants to get rid of Mordechai. Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of midrashim about what the relationship was. A lot of midrashim.
I mean, when Haman when he won the lottery, Mordechai owned the Jewish people at that time, because since Haman, whatever Haman had, Mordechai owned it, basically.
Okay, so.
So, I mean, Hamas plan was basically foiled. It was destroyed from the beginning because he didn't really have the opportunity.
Well, he did a letter. He had permission from the king. He had the whole the whole army behind him. In 11 months, the Jews were going to get decimated. We're going to be killed. So that's what's going on. The decree goes out because they had to write it, publicize it, and whatever. So it took almost 2 weeks. But the decree went out. It was written and it was publicized and spread all over the kingdom. Yeah? That in 11 months, the Jews are going to die. Where are we holding now? Yud Gimel. Ahem. Yud Gimel Nisan. Yeah? This is social media right here. This is human social media. Yeah? Human social media. Here we go. So, imagine you're there. Let's all picture the scene, yeah?
Where did we go?
Yeah? Guys, we're together? We're good? We're good? Imagine you are there. Yeah? It is Yud Gimel Nisan. Pesach starts tomorrow night. Yeah, Pesach is Yud Dalet at night, correct? So, the 13th, the day before Erev Pesach, everybody is depressed. We don't know what to do. We have 11 months to deal with this.
They fasted through the Seder.
Yes. So, what happens then?
Korban Pesach.
Okay. Well, first, they're not eating Korban Pesach because they're in Bavel, right? They're not eating Korban Pesach because they're in Bavel.
Why not?
The temple has been destroyed.
Yeah, right, but we still have to eat.
So there's no problem. Matzah, maror, all that stuff. Okay, so what would you do? You have 11 months to worry about this.
I wouldn't worry.
I'd wait 10 and procrastinate, bro. 1,000%. If there's something college has taught me, it's take your time.
I mean, you have time. You have time to work it out, right?
I would learn Putin's what's it called? Black belt.
Say
Judo.
No, but I'm serious. In other words, so here the decree's gone out. It's very serious. This is a big deal. And you have to figure out what to do. So right away, Mordechai sends a copy of this declaration to Esther, right? And he says to her, you got to do something about this. Right? Yes? So what does she say? She says, what do you want from me? I'm not allowed to go to the king for another 30 days. No, it was a decree. Some say Haman was behind it, sometimes some maybe not. Whatever it was, whether it was Haman's plot or not, which makes sense that it would be. So Esther wasn't invited to the king for another 30 days. Now, there's a misconception here. Yeah? There's a misconception. Everybody thinks that Esther is going to go to the king, and then the king extends his scepter, right? That anybody who goes into the king, and the king makes a choice. You know what I'm talking about? Is that what everybody thinks?
Yeah.
It's not true. This is the way it works. If you show up in the king's palace uninvited, we kill you. Yeah? There's no such thing as showing up to the king's palace uninvited. You get killed. You with me? That's how it works. You get an invitation, you come in. No invitation, you step one foot in, we kill you. Okay, there's always a chance of getting pardoned. You know what I'm saying? That's always a possibility. But that's not the way it works. It's not like, you walk in and we make us like, should we partner, should we not? No. Meaning, you get killed, we kill you. So Esther says, what do you want from me? If I step foot in the palace, they're going to kill me. I'm not invited. So Mordechai says, listen, you can stay in your ivory tower if you want. And you can assume that you'll be safe and whatever. And all the rest of the Jews are going to die. Don't worry about us, Esther. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. Someone else will save us. But maybe this is why you're queen. So she says, okay. Yeah? I want to say more about that, by the way. But what?
He guilt-tripped her into it.
I don't think so. I think it's a different shot. I think it actually has to do with all kinds of other things, but I don't want to get on a tangent right now about it. So Mirza Shem, we can talk about it more. But he convinces her. We'll leave it at that. He convinces her that she should do it, and so she decides, okay, but I need a lot of help. The help that I need is called Torah and Tefillah. So for 3 days, I want you guys to fast, daven, and with that zuchus, I'm going to go in and risk my life. Yeah? With that zuchus of 3 days of fasting and tefillos of Klal Yisrael. So that's how this all begins, right? That's how this happens. Is that Nisan 13 decree goes out. Nisan 14, 15, and 16. You with me? Erev Pesach? First day of Pesach? And?
Second day
of Pesach. Get rid of it. Yeah? The Jews all fast for 3 days.
Put crabs into the
no matzah, no seder, unless they were eating at night. Unless they were eating at night, you know? I don't know. It's hard to
That's
know exactly what's going on.
Have a leg of that.
Second day of Pesach, right? So now holding 13, 14, 15, 16. So 16th, Esther's fasted, and she's now on her way to Achashverosh. Can I tell you something the Vilna Gaon says that nobody's ever heard before?
Yes, please.
Yeah, listen to this.
Huh?
Well, look at these crabs.
No. Everyone knows that Esther was green. Yeah? Green? Yeah, so they say she had like an olive complexion, yeah?
Yeah.
Esther was green, you're a crocus. She looked sickly, yeah? You've heard this before, no? Everyone knows this. Okay, the Vilna Gaon, he says, she wasn't green, because the beginning of, I read it to you. It says that Mordechai had this adopted daughter or wife named Esther, and it says she was, I'll quote to you the pasuk, it says, Derop dead gorgeous. Yeah? Katuv. Derop dead gorgeous. Yeah? It says that she was Yifas toyar v'toyvas mare. She was beautiful. So what do you mean she was green? Zok de Vilna Gaon. She wasn't always green. You know when she was green? She was green when she had to go to Achashverosh. Yeah? That's when she got sick to her stomach. Now whether that was the first time when she goes or maybe this time as well because she was fasting and her breath did not smell good. You know what I'm saying? So, but then she was green and Akash Baruch Hu made her look beautiful. But in general, the Vilna Gaon says she was beautiful. Wasn't fast. Okay, anyway, tangent. But, so she goes to Achashverosh and this, what does she do? What does she do? What does she do? She walks in.
Wait, why didn't she just wait until the next time she do it? Why didn't she like go unannounced?
It's a great question.
Because she listened by the time that the
Mordechai said you have to go now, right? That's what Mordechai said. I don't think we would have done that, right?
By the time that the decree was made versus the time they could, you're sure
11 months.
You were for sure a senior.
So what's Pshat?
You had a lot of wives and you seen once a year.
I don't know. Right? It's a good question.
Didn't you have a lot of wives?
Yeah, concubines. I have a book at home that has the ruins, what's left of this palace. And behind the throne room, there's a whole bunch of room. That was the concubines' rooms. Yeah? Room.
Wow.
Gosh, I'll bring it in. Anyway, what happens here is that Esther goes in and he pardons her. Yeah? She didn't get killed. Did you know that? Esther doesn't get killed. Yeah. So he pardons her. And he says, what can I do for you? Yeah? Up to half the kingdom. Yeah? Well, what do you want? And what does she say?
What's the deal?
I want the party! Yeah? You'll make a party, yeah? And who's invited to the party? What does she say?
Mordechai.
Nope. You, me, and Haman. Now, there's a big question here, which is, what's Esther thinking? Yeah? Because that's a big no-no. Why is that a big no-no?
Yehuda. Two men. That's still fine.
If you want to say to the king, don't kill my people, why is Haman coming to this party? Why is he invited? What's Pshat? And what is Achashverosh thinking about that?
Makes me nervous.
That's weird, right? That's weird. You have to admit. There's something weird about that. So what exactly she was hoping would happen here if Achashverosh would think that her and Haman have something or that, you know what I'm saying? That's a bad idea. So it sounds like she was hoping maybe she was going to get herself killed. But at least Haman would that do. So this is part of her cheshbon. But in any case, so that's happening on the 16th of Nisan at night. Let's have a party. And Haman gets invited. He hears about it. Woo-hoo! And he is on cloud 10, 11, 12, I don't know, you know, 18. He's like, so he's leaving this announcement or whatever, and he's on his way home, and he is like dancing in the street, and you know, and everyone's bowing down, except for Mordechai, who's always hanging out outside the palace, right? And he's irate. Okay, so we know the story. So we'll talk about it again another time, but that's what happened. So listen to this. Nisan 17, you following this? This is all happening at one time, right? One, two, three, boom, boom, boom. The 17th at night, Hashem pulls strings to set up the next day's party. The king cannot sleep. Right, he can't sleep. What happened? He reads the records. What does he happen to read? That story about Big Son and Seresh, yeah? And whose name is there? Esther, because Esther told the king, no? Mm-hmm. B'shem Mordechai. Yeah? Again, how many years ago was that? That was a long time ago. That was in 362. 560. That was years ago.
Did Ahasuerus not realize that Mordechai was Jewish? Because if he allowed people to go through and he also honored him by putting on a horse, does that mean he realized he's Jewish?
No, why not? I owe him. You know, I can't sleep. Maybe it's a sign from him, you know, the gods.
He'd be killed by the big
priest. He'll still die, big deal. But I'll honor him now and I'll get my credit for whatever, not giving him what is due, and I'll be able to go to sleep, whatever. Yeah, not a tarty sas, right? So the king can't sleep. He reads the records, wants to reward Mordechai. Haman shows up to kill Mordechai, the guy that the king wants to reward. Haman wants to kill. All the king's suspicions against Haman are all, like, you know, bubbling up. In the morning, the same day, in the morning, Haman marches Mordechai through the city, and then comes the party. Esther reveals who she is, what Haman's been plotting. Haman is hanged. Mordechai becomes minister in his place. Boom! Are you with me? This is all in one day. In one day, the core, the crux of Megillas Esther, boom, 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 boom. Talk about Yeshua Hashem Keheref Ayin, that the salvation of Hashem is in the blink of an eye. Boom! Haman's dead. Just like that. It's crazy, no? You know what I think is crazy?
What was the new decree?
That the Jews are allowed to defend themselves. He can't repeal his decree because he can't repeal decrees. But you can write a new one, the Jews are allowed to defend themselves. It's a whole political issue.
Day, Nisan 17.
What?
All the same day.
That's all one night.
The party was that night.
After the 16th is over, Esther goes to Ahasuerus. We're at the 17th on the Jewish calendar. On the 17th of Nisan on the Jewish calendar, everything happens. Come back tomorrow, another party. Come back tomorrow. And then the next one. And Haman, by the end of the day, Haman's dead. Crazy, right? It took a long time to get to that one day. But that one day, everything happens.
Rob, why didn't Ahasuerus want to kill Haman earlier?
You mean why didn't he have suspicions about him earlier?
Why, like, Haman was, like, not discreet about it. Like, he asked about the... First of all, Haman was a hammer and bowed to him when he had this ring thing. That's a little weird. And then he also... Do you think Ahasuerus really was dumb and didn't know that Haman thought he was talking about himself and he wanted to dress in the king's robes and ride around the horse?
Good, good, good. When was that?
All this stuff.
All of that was the night of Nisan 17. All of that's happening that night. So all of the king's suspicions start with the party. Nail in the coffin is what Haman says about riding on the horse. Because the king, the Ahasuerus was like, what's wrong with this guy? That's how he sees himself? Riding around in the king's crown? What's wrong with this? He's trying to usurp the... He's taking over. That's like the linchpin.
This all helped him make the decision on the payment to kill this guy.
Yeah. And it's all that night because he couldn't sleep and he read it and Mordechai rewarded him and then he sees what Haman thinks that you should reward people with and he's like, that's the linchpin. He's finished. He's finished. And Haman had no idea.
So the one thing that
we don't know, right? Like, we don't know. But that night he couldn't sleep. And unbelievable. And since Esther said it in the name of Mordechai, you know, everything went the way it did. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, listen to this. So, it takes from the 17th of Nisan all the way until the 23rd of Sivan for this new decree to be issued. Yeah? Isn't that weird? Listen to this. Listen to Vilna Gaon. How many days are between the 23rd of Sivan and the original decree being issued? When was the original decree issued?
It was
the 13th of Nisan. How many days are between the 13th of Nisan and the 23rd of Sivan?
30?
Over 2 months. 50?
Let's assume that a month is 30 days, right? What's 13 to get to 30? How many are left? How many is that?
Wait, you said 27 Sivan?
So 40. 40 days.
17 in that number. And then...
You're forgetting a month of ER. There's a month called ER in between, yeah? Oh, so okay. ER is 30 days, plus 23 plus...
17.
So what's left? What are we up to?
So it's like 60, 70 days.
How many?
70.
Exactly 70 days. Ooh, no? Yeah. Exactly 70 days elapsed from the time Haman's decree until the new decree is issued. They're allowed to defend themselves. 70, huh? What do you think about that? What do you think about that? Says the Vilna Gaon, that was one day for 1 year of Galus. This is, in effect, the end of the Galus. In effect, it's the end of the Galus.
Is that what's going to happen today?
What?
Like, 70 days, 70 years, so 1,000 years for what? 1,000 hours?
Whatever. And then the next year, of course, the next year is when all of this is supposed to happen. Adar 13, what happens on the 13th of Adar the next year? In 356? Haman's dead. Right? Haman's dead already on the 17th of Nisan. So the 13th of Adar is the big war. The Jews defend themselves, yeah? They destroy, they kill all of these people that were trying to kill them, all of the Amalekim. And then the 14th, everybody parties. Except in Shushan. In Shushan, they request one more day to kill all the remaining people that are against them. And so they fight on Adar 14, and so they party on the 15th, which of course is why we have Shushan Purim on the 15th. And that is the, you know, Megillas Esther. In 355, after Megillas Esther's over. 355, the next year, Ahasuerus dies, and Dariavish II officially becomes the king. He somehow, however this works, through Esther or whatever, orders the temple to be rebuilt, which 353 is 70 years exactly from what?
Wait, 423.
353 is exactly 70 years from Churban HaBayis, just as Yirmiyahu HaNavi had said. The Galus will last for 70 years. From the time of the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash will then be rebuilt, or beginning to be rebuilt, exactly 7 years later after the Churban. It took a few years to complete it. In 349 BCE, the second Beis HaMikdash was completed.
When did Esther die?
Not sure.
Because it makes sense that her son is 8 years old and controlled Beis HaMikdash, because she didn't bother saying, hey, you need to screen to be able to Beis HaMikdash. It is not a problem, he's 8 years old.
Right.
How old was Mordechai?